covenant and the messages on overcoming strongholds. And so I hope these covenant ones have taught you a lot about the big picture of the Bible and understanding a lot of the things in the Bible. It's not been the most messages, but they're, I think, informative and will help you understand the Bible. Malachi chapter 2, I want to give you my first point and then read along the passage to you, just because the passage so well says the point, my first point in the message. The message is called tonight, Remembering Covenants. Remembering Covenants. And I'm just going to catch several different subjects about covenants in here. The point number one is the Lord severely dislikes covenant breakers and holds them accountable. The Lord severely dislikes covenant breakers and holds them accountable. Malachi chapter 2, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So talking to the priests in Malachi 2, and you think these are the people who take care of the temple and are the ones who went to God for the whole nation and the spiritual leaders. It says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you did not lay it to heart. I want to preach sometime on cursing your blessings. Those things which are you would like the most to be a certain way are cursed. And that's a whole other subject. Verse 3 is graphic, but God says, this is how serious I am about this. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, that's your children, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and shall take you away with it. That means God's not happy. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord. So he says, I want you to know that, hey, I have a covenant with you, and you're breaking it. And it's a big deal to me. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave it to them for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did not turn many away from iniquity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. If preachers would read this, they'd be a little more nervous about messing around. But you're departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but impartial in the law. In the Bible, when God is pleased with a leader, he magnifies him in the eyes of the people, the Bible says. And when he is not pleased with them, he makes them very small and very insignificant. And he says, I have made you contemptible and base before all the people. So God's not happy because they broke the covenant that he had made with Levi and the tribe and a long time ago. And he says, I'm going to really destroy and mess around with you because you broke that covenant. God does not like covenants. He wants covenant people who remember them. Let's pray. And Father, I pray now you give wisdom into the scripture, and I pray you give power, and I pray that tonight you would speak to us powerfully. Lord, I think that we don't think properly about covenant breakers and breaking our word, but I pray tonight we would grasp it a little bit, and I pray we'd understand the depth of the importance of this, and I pray that you would just help us to see how you think on it, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think biblical covenants are a little more serious than us giving our word, but because it's between you and God, and a biblical covenant, it seems God uses that. But the Bible is very strong on keeping your word, and to that extent, in the same way, he is like that. For example, the Bible says if you've been snared with the words of your mouth, it says you got to deliver yourself and do the whole thing until it's paid in full. Other words, you say, you know what, I'll come over and jumpstart your car. And then all of a sudden you find out, well, the person is not a very nice person, or they don't appreciate it, or they're a little farther than they said they were or something. You still keep your word, because your word is your bond. You used to be fighting words. You know, people called you a liar in the West, that it was a shooting? As a matter of fact, they say back then your word was so important, and huge transactions were done without counting numbers. guy says, I have 1,247 cattle. And he said, I'll buy them for $10 a head. And he says, okay. And if you counted the cattle, it was an insult. You're looking at me kind of strangely there. Because people's word meant everything. And when you had a bad name, you were done. Nobody did business with you. It got around real quick. That person's not honest in his dealings. A person who takes their word and use it, and those of you who are good with your word, it drives you crazy when people break their word with you. And by the way, people are amazing how they'll do that. The worst thing is, somebody will tell you, I'm going to do this with you, and then they won't do it, and then they won't even call you and tell you they're not going to do it. That's the worst right there. And it shocks you because, listen, all of a sudden you get in a wreck tonight. If the Huggins couldn't have made it tonight. If something terrible happened, you can't make it. A good person, their word was so important that I told you I was going to be there, that they will contact you. They'll find a phone. They'll find something. They'll contact you and say, hey, I was going to be there. But people who don't care about their word, they just don't show up. And you just wonder where they were. Somebody texted me tonight 3 times because they couldn't make it tonight. They slipped up. They messed up. And they didn't plan that something happened. And you know what? I like that. They told me. And your word is very important to you. And you need to be a person who keeps your word. And God says, you know what? Especially with me, because when you made a covenant with me and you don't keep it, I get really, really frustrated. And I take it out on you and I show you how important that covenant is to me, because I don't break my covenants, God says. I made a very sacred covenant with you that you were going to do this and I was going to do this and I did this. And people go, well, no big deal. I just couldn't do it. You know, most people, when I say that right there, say, that's right, your word should mean something. And then mean old pastor comes to them and they tell me, you know what, I'm not even going to pay these people back. You know, it's stupid credit people. They have enough money. And pastor says, no, 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 no. You promised you'd pay them back when you borrowed that money. Well, it's a big company, just a credit card. It's just a loan I took for furniture 5 years ago. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. You're a liar if you don't keep your word. You say, when I bought it, I overspent. Okay, so you might spend 10 years. And by the way, you tell them, hey, I can't pay you right now, but I am going to pay you. And you find a way to do it. You say, I don't know how I can do that. Work extra hours. Save your money. Go buy lattes. But you gave your word. Amen, Pastor. Good stuff. And that's important stuff. You keep your word when you say you're going to do it. And God said, Levi, I'm not with this thing. You're in trouble. I'm going to corrupt your seed. If I understand that phrasing right there, I'm going to make your children deformed. I'm going to corrupt your seed. It looks pretty nasty there. And God said, I'm upset with you. I'm serious about this thing. Go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1. God does not like it when people break their covenants, and he holds them accountable. Talk about wicked people, and Romans 1 is about the deterioration of society, among other things. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God says, I don't like covenant breakers. Among backbiters and haters of God, I don't like covenant breakers. When you make a covenant with God, God holds you accountable. Let me take you back to Ecclesiastes. You can listen along if you want to. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. When you make a covenant with God, God does not like it when you break his covenant. He calls you a covenant breaker. It's even more serious than lying. He phrases that differently. But a covenant breaker, God says, is detestable to him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Part of a covenant to God is a vow. The Bible talks about it. And I'm not going to do a whole study on vows because I don't have time tonight. But vows are looked at much differently And it's very important that we grasp vows to God. Verse 4. Because vows are voluntary. Okay? Some things you're commanded to do. For example, I don't vow my tithe to God. It's a command. I don't have to do that. I don't vow something I don't have to do. When you vow in marriage, you give your vows. You're doing it voluntarily. When you vow something, you can say, God, if you will do this, I will do this. Or, Lord, I vow that I will do this. See, I told you about vow I made to God. If God gave me the house I was in, I would every single day of my life take time, every one time a day at least, and thank him for that house. When that vow goes out of your mouth, God says, done. You can't say at that point, I didn't mean that, or I can't do that. It's done. It is now required. And the Bible says, do not vow a vow if you're not going to keep it, because God requires it of you. If I say, God, I'm going to give you 20% of my income, if I vow that to God, if I vowed that, I would give God 20% of my income. Voluntarily or not voluntarily, because God said, I will require it of you. It's his now. If somebody came and said, God, I vow every year I will give you my first 10 cattle. And then he goes back and says, you know what? I don't have that many cattle born this year. I'm not going to give God 10 cattle. God says, oh, yes, you are. You're going to give me 10 cattle. I require it. You vowed it. But I don't want to do that anymore. God says, you can't undo it. And so you got to be very careful what you vow. You don't vow lightly. Verse 4, it says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, do not defer to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, and thou shouldest vow and not pay. So, it says, nothing wrong at all with not vowing anything. It wouldn't have been a sin for me to not ask, make that vow to God about my house. It would have been a sin. Nothing wrong with that at all. But once I say, I'm going to do this, God says, yes, you will. And it says, if you're not going to keep your vow, do not vow it to God. When Hannah said, I will give you my son, Lord, I will give him to you if you'll give me a son. God said, okay, he's mine. And he said, I'm taking that vow, and he is mine. And that was a great prophet. So I'm going to keep with that which is vowed. That's why people who go in and go back on their vows, covenant breakers with God, they live very miserable lives. I've watched many people who I watched or knew or was there or went to Bible college with who surrendered life to God. And God said, I want you to be a preacher. And they said, okay, I'll be a preacher. And then they said, no, I don't want to be a preacher anymore. I've got a great career going. Their lives are disasters. I don't mean they don't do so good. I mean, their lives are wrecks. Why? They're gods. And gave vow their life to God, and God said, your life's mine. Okay, I didn't mean that, God. I'm going to do something else. God says, no, you're not. You're mine. You can't go back. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You vowed yourself to me, and when I was 16, I said, okay, Lord, I'll be a preacher. I didn't know all the implications of that, but I don't have a choice anymore. I wouldn't want to do anything else, but I don't have a choice anymore. I vowed it to God. And God is not like covenant breakers. They do those things to him. You cannot go back once you vow to God, when you make a covenant with God. And Israel couldn't go back and say, okay, you know what? We just don't want to be this covenant anymore, God. We want to go back and serve idols. God said, I don't care that you say that. You're still under my covenant. And you broke my covenant, so I'm going to punish the nation. And some people just say, Lord, I'll give you my life. Somewhere in a service, God speaks their heart. And you say, Lord, my life is yours. I give you my life. And God says, thank you. I'll take that life and make a wonderful life out of your life, and we'll be together, and I like that vow. And then you say, you know what? No. I got my own things now. I'm 18, and I've got a career to look forward to, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I want to do this, this, and this. And God says, no. And watch how your life works out. It's not pretty for those people who take the things back from God. And God, Lord dislikes covenant breakers and holds them accountable. Number two, the Lord does not break covenants. He is remembering and honoring. The Lord does not break covenants. He is remembering and honoring. I'm going to teach you a little bit about that, but let me take you to Genesis. And I'm going to teach you about God, the way God looks at covenants, and you have to understand them. The rainbow in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, it says, I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in a cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and all the waters shall become no more flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature. God says twice, I will remember when I see the rainbow. God brings a cloud, he looks down and says, rainbow, oh yeah, I can't destroy the world. I bet that happens a whole bunch. I bet God looks down at the world and says, the rainbow. Because God remembers his covenant. And the ones that he is remembering and honoring. Now remember, in God's covenants, he usually has caveats. I will do this if you will do this. But if you don't do this, I will not do this. So God's not obligated to do certain things. And he honors the covenants when you don't break it. And just like somebody repossesses your car, I'll pay you $300 a month to buy this car, and then you quit paying, and they come and repossess the car. You don't own the car anymore. You broke your covenant. You broke the thing you're supposed to do, so they don't have to keep giving you the car. That's why it's nice to own things, and because they can do that. Number three, we remind him of covenants. Remind God of covenants. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6. We remind God of covenants. Exodus chapter 6. A lot of passages about this that you can show God, people reminding God of covenants. First, God talking to Moses here in chapter 6, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt go see what I'll do unto Pharaoh. Verse 5. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptian kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. 400 years. God made a covenant with Joseph. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Israel forgot their covenant. And God did not do anything in the covenant, did not give them the land and let them stay in Egypt. And a new generation, knew not Joseph, grew up, and things went on and on. And then all of a sudden, Israel started crying out to God and said, God, where are you? We're in bondage. You said we'd be a wonderful free people. And Lord, we need to do this. And God says, oh yeah, that covenant. Now, God did not forget. Okay? But God had no reason to bring it back up. And God did not have any obligation to do it. But when somebody comes and they are under a covenant and said, Lord, you got to do this thing, then God says, you're right, I have to. You got me. And I'll do that. Many people do not enjoy great blessings from God because they don't understand. They have covenants, but God's not going to do anything until you claim the covenant. It's like the person who wins a huge prize and doesn't come claim it. You win $1 million. All you got to do is come down to this building and you will claim your prize. And you say, I didn't come down to claim my prize, but you still owe me the prize. No, you didn't come down and claim your prize. And many of us have great blessings and great things. You could claim Psalms 1 anytime you want to. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that they meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They bring forth his leaf in his season. His fruit also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You could do those things that it says to get in Psalms 1, and then you could say, Lord, you said, whatever I do will prosper. And God would say, yep, I remember that covenant. Okay. But many people just walk around without claiming the covenants. And Israel began to cry to God, and God says, I remember my covenant. I'll keep it now. Let me illustrate this. Josiah, come on up here. Let's say I made a deal with Josiah, and Josiah's getting up there to that driving age. And he's getting up there to that driving age, and I'm a man of prayer, so I'm fine. But he's getting up to that driving age, and we are worked on that a little bit today, even, and getting his permit and everything. We didn't get the permit. We're working on the process and things. So I say to Josiah, and I'm not saying this, but I say, Josiah, if you'll give me $50 a month forever, I will always give a car to you. And your children, if they give me $50 a month, I will give them a car. And, yeah, fingers crossed. Toes are crossed. And if you do that, and if you don't drive bad and crazy like a maniac, then I will always give you a car to drive forever and ever and ever. Now, make the vow to him. Okay, he breaks the vow. Dude does a Dukes of Hazzard. And goes and whew, just good old boys and does that. And he breaks his promise. Now I say, sorry, have a seat. No car for you. I take the car back. By the way, any good parent will take the car away from the kids if they supplied the car and the kids aren't good. Don't have time. But I say, and he breaks the covenant. Okay, now Josiah's son grows up. Come on up here, Paul. You're Josiah's son today. And Josiah's son grows up, and he comes up, and he comes to me and says, you made a vow.
Yes.
Say, you made a vow.
You made a vow.
And if I give you $50.
And if I give you $50.
You have to give me a car.
You have to give me a car.
And I say, you know what? I remember that. Now, have a seat at your dad's job. And, I go and I give him, all of a sudden, you know what? I remember my covenant now. And now he's claimed that covenant. He could have gone around forever. He could have given me $50 and not claimed the covenant. And you know what? I'm not doing anything wrong by not giving him the car. He could drive right and give me $50 a month, but if he doesn't say, now, I give you $50, I need you to give me the car, now I'm obligated. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see people doing that to God all the time. Lord, you promised you would do this, now you got to do it. And God said, you're right, I'll do it. Many people don't take advantage of that. If you get a hold of that, you could bring revival, you could have prosperity, you could be blessed by God, you could have godly children. They're all covenants of those things in the Bible. Awesome, preacher. Let's say amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Exodus 32. Watch Moses do this. God said, I want to kill, and we read this passage before, I'm going to destroy Israel. Verse 10 of Exodus 32. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, and which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, the great power with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, God brought him out for nothing? Verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou... He's telling God to remember. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and give all this land that I have spoken to give to your seed, and they shall inherit forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he sought to do unto them. When you go to Deuteronomy, and we won't have time there, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses tells a story about that, and he says specifically, I reminded God of his covenant. When he's retelling the story. See, because somebody went and said, I reminded you of this, God. That's what claiming a prayer promise is in the Bible. Is reminding God of his covenant. The prayer promise is there anyway, but you're not grabbing the prayer promise. You're not establishing the covenant between you and God and reminding him. You're not Paul walking up and saying, you said this, and here I'm doing this. Now you have to do this. And God says, you're right, I have to do this. I remember that covenant. The word remember is very important because it means to mark and keep in mind. And that's what the word means. It's very important that you understand that. It's the word zekar, to mark and recognize, to remember or to be mindful of. God does not forget, but he marks it and says, yes, that is my covenant, and yes, I will do that. And I am obligated to do that if you come to me. Somebody could say, I give everybody who will go and ask, send me something in the mail and ask for $100, I'll give everybody $100. He can say that, but everybody can't say, I get the $100 unless they claim it. They send in the letter. And so that is how you get that. That's part of what prayer is, by the way, but that's another lesson. So we can remind him of covenants. Next, number four, if we break covenant, he is often merciful if we repent. If we break covenant, he is often merciful if we repent. So you say, I broke my covenant with God. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you break your covenant with God, God is often merciful if you repent of doing that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me start at verse 17. Thou sayest in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do forget the Lord thy God, and walk after the gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you will not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And so he says, remember that. And go to Leviticus. And I'm going to quote a little passage from last week. Leviticus 26. Verse 40, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also which they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment for their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac. Notice that. If they repent, then I'll remember my covenant. And also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I'll remember the land. The land also shall be left unto them, and shall enjoy your Sabbaths, and God all bless them. If they leave me, I'm going to take them away and take away all the blessings. But if they remember, if they repent, then I'll remember my covenant with them. God never breaks his covenants. He does what he says he'll do, but he's so merciful, he will have mercy even on covenant breakers if they really repent, and many times he will save you and rescue you up to a certain point. That's why he says that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Because they confess their sin to me, I will come back and go back into my covenant with them, and I'll bless them. And I will do that because I'm merciful. And so there is always hope because God's a merciful God. Number five, people later on can get under previous covenants. People later on can get under previous covenants. Let me just take you to one passage on this, but 2 Kings in chapter 22. You see this process, and again, I have so many passages here and so many things in the Bible, but you see God had a covenant with Abraham. And he had the same covenant with Israel at the time of Moses. And he said, you know what, I'm going to put you underneath the Abrahamic covenant, and you're going to be able to go into the land. And then, what happened? They provoked God to anger, and God says, I'm not going to let any of your carcasses go into the land. You're going to wander around 40 years. And I'm going to make the covenant with the next generation, and they're going to be the people of covenant, because you have provoked me to anger and not obeyed me and followed me and trusted me. And so I'm not going to let you go in, but I'll let your children have the covenant. Later on, David grabs a hold of a covenant. And then you find out later, Solomon builds a temple and gets everything established round about. And if you look when in 2 Kings, when Samuel has rest and has built a temple and the presence of God comes down in the temple, Solomon prays a prayer and he also preaches a sermon. And in both that prayer and the sermon, he mentions and says, you have given me the blessing that you promised to my father David, that he would have a son on the throne and the nation would be blessed and be at peace. And I'm inheriting the blessing that came from David. We talked about that the other week, where you can bring curses or blessings by covenant to your children. And you find that. Later on, the kings go away from God and forsake God and leave God and do everything all wrong. And God has to punish a nation terribly. And you go through judges and it's frustrating. They go over and over. But then all of a sudden, hundreds of years later, a young king named Josiah goes and has the Bible read to him. And he hears the words of the covenant and says, we're in big trouble. We need to repent. And he repented. And boom, God says, I'm going to bless you, Josiah, and your generation. I was going to destroy you right away, but since you repented, I'm going to be merciful to this people. And in chapter 22 of 2 Kings, and it came to pass, and the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Okai the priest, and Ahakam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Machaliah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled. And we're in big trouble. And verse 16, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book, which I said I'd do because you guys wouldn't stop, but because they have forsaken me. But, verse 19, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee before the Lord, and you'll be gathered to your fathers, and I will not bring it upon it in your generation. And so God brought a covenant of blessing upon Josiah. Many people nowadays preach on 2 Chronicles 7:14 about America. This nation deserves a judgment of God, and this nation knew better, and this nation's forsaken God, and this nation is going to be cursed and judged, and it might be. I don't know that. But I think you can claim that verse, because this has been a Christian nation. And I believe if you read the Mayflower Compact, the covenant, and you read the early documents and the early writings of this nation, it was founded as a Christian nation. And I believe this nation has been blessed like no nation in the history of the world because it very much is God-honoring and sent and knew it was dependent upon God, and Christians landed in this nation to start a godly nation who trusted God. And they came over here with a godly point of view, and this nation is amazing and prosperous and blessed, and it's been a lighthouse, the world, the gospel for several generations now. If it forsakes God, I think if we can claim 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called my name shall humble themselves, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I don't wonder if that's not what happened in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, because in the 20s we became the roaring 20s instead of the godly nation we were before then. The 30s came, and not only was it economic. Understand, there's a dust bowl. There's more dirt in the air than on the ground. It was a disaster. This nation was a disaster for 11 years. And guess what? A bunch of people turned to God. And the nation prospered in the 40s and 50s and 60s and is doing its best to destroy itself. But we can claim that. There's so many scriptures in the Bible where God blessed the next generation, where God took a covenant. And by the way, in the end times, God restores his covenant with Israel and blesses Israel and gives them the land again. At the very end of time, and we can claim covenants, and other people can enter into the same covenants. And you'll find, and this is what you'll find, if you want to see this in the Bible, you'll find these words, which thou swearest unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You ever read that in your Bible reading? That which thou swearest unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, we're holding to that, God, because it's in our family, it's our situation. And there's so many great covenants in the Bible, if you're not a covenant breaker, that you can get from God. God wants to do great things. I mean, you gotta search these lessons, whether we teach anymore or not, and find out what covenants, what promises of God. A promise of God is a covenant. God cannot lie. He'll keep his word. What covenants can I get a hold of that will be a blessing that I can claim and get a hold of for God? And what kind of things can I do? But don't enter into a covenant lightly. Do not vow a vow lightly. But do what God says and watch, and he can bless you today just like he blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all that time ago. But many people sit there with the covenants waiting there, and the next generation stands there and says, well, yeah, that was a promise. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But, you know, enjoy those covenants. Claim them and fulfill them and bring them to God, and he'll remember his covenant. And many times, because he's not reminded of his covenant, he doesn't honor his covenant because no one's done what he said. He says, get under my covenant. I'll do what I said. And it's very important you do that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, there's many things on covenant that we've learned, Lord. We've learned that you don't like covenant breakers, and when people go back in their vows to you, Lord. And many of us have made vows to you, Lord, and I pray we'd never mess up on those vows, because we're not blessed, God. You're harsh on covenant breakers. Lord, we should never break our covenant. Help us to do people who are honest and not covenant breakers, Father. And help us to go and get underneath your covenants and claim your covenants and bring them before you, Lord, because that's the ones you bless. The people in the Bible who would bring a promise to you, you'd say, and I remembered my word which I spake. Lord, we know you know all things, and yet until somebody brings it to you and says it to you, Lord, you're not really obligated to keep that covenant. But once we bring it and it fits, Lord, you want to do things. And I pray to be covenant grabbers. And people who live great lives under the covenants of God and see great things from you. Lord, many people don't do that. Help us to be people who see great promises and claim your word to you so you remember your covenant and so you'll do great things. And we thank you for the truths here, Lord. Thank you for